Well, we welcome all of you here today, and it's good to be in the Lord's house. Glad to have those of you here visiting with us. Looks like Grandma Stacy's got her arms full and her lap full, and you just need more arms and more lap.
That's right.
I remember those days a long time ago. But it's good to have all of you in the Lord's house as we celebrate today. We had a great breakfast, good Sunday school lessons. And so we're glad you're here. If you're in the parking lot, we're glad that you're there. Those listening later on the website, so glad that you're a part of the service. As we celebrate today, Jesus, our risen Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we bow before you today, we thank you for this day. Day that means so much. A reminder of how much you do love us. And oh, Father, we thank you that Jesus is alive, that he lives within our hearts, that he walks with us, talks with us, guides us, directs us, comforts us. Thank you for your presence. And Lord, it's so good to be here. Lord, you know the hearts of every person that's in the sanctuary, those that might be in the parking lot, anyone that might be listening later on the website. Lord, just love every person with your boundless, limitless love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning again, everyone. Anybody still awake? Well, you're looking like you're looking good. You really, really are. It's good to see you all. We welcome you all and for this Easter Sunday. And if you're visitors with us today, you are indeed our special guest. And we thank you for being with us today. So as we normally do, we're going to open up with a hymn sing. And so if you would, please, we're going to do Low in the Grave He Lay, page 160. Talks about our risen Savior. That's our theme for today. As we all stand together, let's sing all three verses of Low in the Grave He Lay.
Jesus, my Savior,
this Easter morning. Well, again, it is a good, it's good to see you all. It's a good number this morning. Thank God for you. Thank God for being here this morning. I want to say a few thank yous before we get too far into it. Jeff, thank you and to all the guys this morning and everybody that had a part in the meal this morning. It was delicious. And thank you all. We appreciate it very, very much. And thank you, Dr. Barbie, for helping the old man out in time of need this morning. But anyway, God's blessed, and I'm feeling great. I praise the Lord for that. I was just a little weak there for a while, but God's blessed. God's good. You know that. He is. Enough about me. Angie, I want to say thank you to you and the guys for the wonderful job you do each and every season for our church for these decorations. Would you just give her a hand? What a wonderful job. All right, a couple things on the way of announcements. We are going to be next conference in our quarterly conference. We are going to be addressing the 17th Amendment to the Bylaws and Constitution. And that 17th Amendment is going to be, it has to do with a revision to the handbook for the job description manual for the youth leader and in a paid position and also the youth directors. So now, this will be done next Sunday now, but there's a copy for you that you can get on your way out today. I'm not going to ask you to get them now, but it's right down here front. So on your way out, get your copy, take it home, read it over, and then that way you'll be sure when you vote next Sunday what you're voting for. Thank you, David. Thank you, committee. The Constitution Committee has got this together. Thank you, Brenda, for getting all this done. Okay? David, anything you need to add to that? Okay? Okay. All righty. Let's go with some announcements, please. And tomorrow night, April the 10th, the nominating committee, you have a meeting here at the church, so be here in your place at 6 o'clock tomorrow night with the nominating committee. Wednesday night, don't forget Wednesday night, it's Bible study night, and let's all come and be here and be part of the Bible study. We do enjoy the Bible studies each and every Wednesday night. Be here, come and be here. Let's see. Annie Armstrong. Yeah, we're going to continue, right, Brenda? We're going to continue on for the month of April for Annie Armstrong. You continue to give, and thank you so much for your gifts already. You're a great start. Sign up for the choir if you want to be a member of our choir. Sign up. I must tell you, so far the response has not been kind of what I'd like to see, but then as I look around and I think about how things have changed in our number, we probably don't have a large choir if we ever do have another one. But I didn't say that is because you know, I could have some people like the pastor all of a sudden say, yeah, I want to sing. I think I caught him totally off guard.
I think he was ignoring
me. He was too. I think he totally caught him off guard on that one. But anyway, that's still available to you then. And then the quarterly conference, as we've already talked about. Golden Agers, yeah, we're going to get out again and have a meal. We're going to go to the Classic Family Restaurant in Denton. Now, those of you that's never been there, just come hungry. Because I promise you, when you go away, you won't be hungry anymore. If you do, it's your fault. And Thursday, I believe, that's pork chop night. So you like pork chops?
Yes.
Amen, amen. You come. Charlene, you're old enough. No, seriously, no, there's nothing wrong with it. I said anybody 50, 55, it's okay to come, didn't I? So I don't mean you're ancient like me.
No, I'm okay. I'll probably be 60.
I'll be paying for that remark. you all just keep praying for me. That's all I was. But anyhow, the Golden Agers, come and be with us. Yes, it is. It's wonderful. And I want to tell you, all of you need to come go with us. If you're 50, 55, come on and be with us. We'd love to have you. Sign up so we'll kind of know how to do our transportation, okay? That's all I've got. Anybody? Oh, revival services. Oops. Almost forgot something very serious and very important. Revival service will be here May the 7th through the 10th with Reverend Kenny Wallace. We'll be here doing our revival services, and I'm looking forward to being in a revival with Brother Kenny again. All right. Any other announcements?
Don't forget, everybody, Mother's Day, there'll be a pancake breakfast here.
Okay.
For the whole church. And not just mothers, but the whole church should show up.
There's a little pancake girl over here already smiling, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I will do that. Absolutely. All right. Mother's Day coming up. Where's the year going? I mean, it's just, here we are in April. I don't know. Maybe that's an age thing with me. I don't know, but it seems like time is really swishing on by. Okay. Any other announcements? Okay. Then let's go to our prayer request today. And anyone have any prayer requests you'd like to add to us this morning? We want to remember Brother Kenny. Brother Kenny, I think this is the week, right, that you are going to go, the 11th, I believe it is, and get that kidney stone taken out of there, and you'll feel better. And I know you will when that's all gone. Still no pain. That's wonderful. Praise God. Praise God for that blessing. Absolutely. And also, praise God for those grandchildren. And I look around this morning, and the room just full of grandchildren. I got some, too. And I am so glad. I am so glad. Beautiful, beautiful families this morning as I look around. So, and I see there's one that won't be very long. We'll have another little child with us, right? That's wonderful. All right. Any other prayer requests? Jeff, how's your mom?
She's hanging in there.
Okay.
She's in rehab now. So.
Okay. Yes, Rosina. Okay.
And also, I got news yesterday that Donald Teenever, he is a cousin, passed away.
Donald?
Remember those, Donald?
Gene Eford, okay.
Remember those families.
Okay.
Y'all remember Penny Smith, Carol Smith's wife?
Yes.
She's still in the hospital.
She's actually doing a little better. I texted her yesterday. She's responding.
All right. Penny Smith, okay? Anyone else?
Wayne Williams.
Sir?
Wayne Williams.
Wayne Williams, okay. All right. I'm sorry, Joy. Joy Hill.
Who are you?
Oh, I see you now, Joyce. I heard a voice. I was trying to find out where it was. Oh, it was Evan. I'm sorry, Evan. I got hearing aids, but they're not working so well, I guess. I get new batteries, yeah. Oh, poor old Leonard. I'm telling you. That's okay. If it was easy, anybody could do this. That's all there's to. Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Roger Morton.
Roger Morton.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you, Donald. All right? All right, then. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we pause at this moment, we want to thank you for this Lord's Day. We want to thank you, Lord, for this Easter Sunday. And all, most of all, Lord, we thank you for the risen Lord that we're praying to this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that gave his life on Calvary, that we could be here this morning and acknowledge the fact that we do serve a living Lord. And Lord, we're so thankful for the blessings you give us each and every day. Things, Lord, we don't deserve, and the grace that you extend our ways. Lord, we do thank you. But Lord, we do have some other things we need to ask you for today, Lord, and so I come before you, Lord, and I be specific when I ask you, Lord, your blessings. I pray, Lord, on Brother Kenny, Lord, as he, next week as he goes before the procedure for the kidney stone. I pray, Lord, for Jeff's mom. I pray for her at her convalescing. The Debbie Moore family, the Donald Eford family. We pray for Penny Smith this morning, Lord, and she's in the hospital and she's getting better, but we ask her for healing for her body. We pray for Wayne Williams this morning, for him. For Miss Joyce Little, we pray for her. And we know, Lord, she's been battling cancer for some time, and we pray for her, Lord, that you'll touch her body. And then for Roger Morton, who is our custodian here at the church, we pray for him, Lord, as he is going into knee surgery, and we ask a blessing upon him. Now, Lord, we ask a special blessing upon our remaining of the service today as those of us who sing, Lord, as we sing the blessings and praises of the Lord. And then as Pastor Ed comes before us, Lord, we pray for him and ask, Lord, your blessing upon him and the Easter message he has for us. And now, Lord, these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing a praise song now. It's going to be up on the board for you. It's a song that it's been kind of the title we've all been doing all day, and that is we serve a living Savior. This song says, "I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives." Brand new song, so I've got the words and everything for you on the board. You stand with us and we'll do it together. "I know my Redeemer lives."
Christ in glory comes.
We're laughing about me joining the choir. I've told some of you, I know some of you haven't heard this, but since my wife passed away, I've been going through a lot of boxes and things at the house, and I found my old report cards. And I forgot whether it was the second or third grade teacher gave me an A in music. She wrote out beside of that A, tries hard but sings monotone. Yeah, 70 years later, nothing's changed. You know, some mornings you look out and beautiful sunrise. Some mornings you look out and it's cloudy. Does that mean the sun hasn't come up? No, it just means you can't see it for a moment. And there are times like that in life. We have questions. Things are not like we hoped they would be or think we ought to be. There are people today that are wondering, is there any hope? Any hope for our nation? Any hope for themselves in their own lives, in their own families? There are folks wondering in despair. You know, we've had, seem like to me, we've had so many suicides and other things lately that you wonder, how can people be so depressed? And yet I know it's real. I know it's real. And we sympathize with folks like that that don't understand. Now, do we as Christians have anything positive to say to them? Do we have anything positive to tell folks that are questioning, perhaps in despair, wondering what there is about life, wondering if there's more to life than they've experienced? Let's look at two people like that in the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. The Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. And we'll start reading in verse 13. And this is after the resurrection. And Peter and the others have gone to the tomb and found it empty. In Luke 24, beginning verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 84 furlongs. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. Came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of conversation are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now look at these two guys. It says they're walking along, they're talking about what's been going on, and it says they're sad. They're in despair. And why are they in despair? They thought that Jesus was the Messiah. When Jesus questioned them about what's your problem, guys, they said, well, don't you understand? We had such high hopes that Jesus was God's promised Messiah. We had such high hopes that he was the one that was coming to deliver us as God's promised one. We had such high hopes for him, and some happened that messed it all up? The priest and the Romans conspired together and they crucified him. They buried him. And then lo and behold, today, the women went to the tomb and it was empty, and they said they had a vision of angels that told them that Jesus was risen, and Peter and some of the others went and it was empty, and we're just in confusion. We don't know what's going on. But no one personally they knew had seen Jesus. Now evidently they didn't know about Mary Magdalene's encounter with Jesus. But as far as they knew, no one had seen the risen Jesus up to this point. So it's all speculation. It's all hearsay. It all wouldn't stand up in court. Now you and I, we read our Bibles, we've been to church all of our lives, many of us, and we know how the story comes out. Their despair gave way to joy when they began to realize this is Jesus and he is alive. And they celebrated that truth, and then, you know, later it says they ran back all the way to Jerusalem to tell the others they'd seen Jesus. Now, the King James says it was about 70 furlongs. One translation says it was 7 miles. Another says it was 17 miles. So I have no clue, but it wasn't across the street. Now, can you imagine, it was almost dark when they asked Jesus to come in and eat with them. And at the very least, once they realized it was Jesus in the dark, they walked back another 7 miles to tell the others what they'd seen. But it all changed when they met Jesus. Now, they met Jesus, and they didn't know him at first. But what changed them? First, they met Jesus. They met Jesus. But they fully recognized him at last. Something happens when you really meet Jesus, the living Lord. Something happens inside when you meet him. It's interesting. You think about the Apostle Paul, Saul, his name was at the beginning. He's on the road to Damascus. Suddenly there's this bright light from heaven and he hears a voice that says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" What does Saul say? "Who are you, Lord? I don't know who you are." And then the voice comes back and says, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth. I'm Jesus." And you know, Paul's whole life changed the moment he encountered Jesus and knew who Jesus was. It's interesting to read over the years, story after story after story of people who have a testimony that goes something like this. "I knew that there had to be a real God. I knew that there had to be a Savior. But I didn't understand. And then somebody told me about Jesus. And once I met Jesus, my life changed." I think it's interesting that, I don't know, I've heard dozens of stories from the Muslim countries of Muslims who have dreams of a living Jesus. They've been Muslims all their life. They've had ingrained into them the Islamic religion. And then they'll have a dream about Jesus. And in that dream about Jesus, they come to understand that he's the Messiah. Counter to what they've been taught all of their lives, Jesus is the Savior. and they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You see, these guys went from despair to joy when they encountered Jesus. But I think it's also interesting that another reason for their joy was that Jesus gave them a Bible study. I think that's really cute, really cool. And he said to them in verse 25, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, art not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." They had a Bible study, and Jesus took the Bible. The Old Testament was what he would have had. And enlightened them about himself. Now, those of you that come on Wednesday night know that last fall, we spent a number of Wednesday nights looking in the Old Testament about prophecies about the birth of Jesus. So Wednesday night after Wednesday night after Wednesday night, we looked at different scriptures that pointed to Jesus and his birth. I won't ask for a show of hands, but if you remember, last year, before Easter, I spent about 5 or 6 Sunday mornings preaching from the Old Testament, the crucifixion. Verse after verse in the Old Testament to point to the crucifixion of Jesus. And the interesting thing is, crucifixion hadn't been invented yet. I don't know whether that's the proper word, invented, but they weren't crucifying people back in the days the Old Testament was written. That was a new modern invention of the Romans and the people of that era. And yet in the Old Testament, over and over and over again, it talks about things that can only be described as what took place with the arrest, the beating, and the crucifixion of Jesus. And so that's what Jesus did. He took the scriptures, and he started with Moses, the first 5 books of the Bible, and then the prophets. And over and over and over again, he told these guys, listen, here's what the Bible says about me. And you remember, it says later, and he says, "Did not our hearts burn with us when he talked to us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" When folks are honest in studying God's word, it always points you to Jesus. There's been some people from, you know, especially in the last few generations, very prominent people who decided those Christians are a bunch of fools who've been misled, misguided, and I'm going to take the Bible and show them what's wrong with Christianity. And they start reading the Bible, they start studying the New Testament, and the more they study, the more their ideas change. And these atheists and unbelievers become believers. There was a very prominent fellow that wrote a book. I mean, I think he was a newspaper man from Chicago. "I'm going to prove you Christians are misled." But as he studied his Bible, he found out Jesus is the Messiah. It's happened many, many times in history. These guys were despairing. They were questioning. But once they heard the scripture, it made a difference. Then eventually they see the risen Jesus for themselves. Verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now, once in a while, down through the ages, there are people that have had a vision of the risen Jesus. They've had an encounter. I was in a service several years ago, and somebody said they saw him come down the aisle. Now, I had my eyes closed, so I don't know what they saw, who they saw, but they said they saw Jesus come down the aisle. So people have had that over the years. But most of us don't have that experience. That's why it is so, so special what Jesus says to us in the Gospel of John. You know, in the Gospel of John, such a beautiful promise. You remember the story? Jesus appears to the 12. The 10. Because Judas has hung himself. And Thomas isn't there. Thomas shows up and they say, "We've seen the Messiah. We've seen the Messiah. Jesus was here." And what does Thomas say? "You guys were deluded. I don't believe he did. Unless I can see him and put my finger in his hands, my hand in his side, I'll not believe." So, what happens? About a week later, everybody's present. Jesus shows up. He says, "Thomas, come over here." And I imagine by then Thomas was saying, "I don't need to come any closer. I got it. Thomas, come over here. Put your fingers. Put your hand in my side." And Thomas falls on his face and says, "My Lord and my God." And here's a precious promise in verse 29 of John 20. Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed." That's where most of us are. We are blessed. We've not seen Jesus in the flesh. We've not put our fingers in the nail holes, but we believe. We believe. We've been convinced by the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We've been convinced that he's our Savior. We've been convinced that he's alive and he lives forevermore. We've been convinced that one day he's coming back for his children. And so, because we've been convinced, without seeing him visibly with our visible eyes, but with our inner heart eyes, we've seen him. And we believe. He says, "Blessed are those who've not seen but believe." You know, in a sense, he's saying, you and I are more blessed than Thomas. Thomas had to have a visual picture or he was not going to believe. The testimony of the other 10 guys didn't count. And there may have been others in the upper room besides the other 10 disciples. We don't know. Their testimony didn't matter. He had to see with his eyes. And you know, if that were the case, then most of us would be lost. But that's not the case. We can believe without seeing. And because we believe without seeing, he says, you are especially blessed. There, later in that passage in Luke, Jesus says to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You know, we rejoice because we believe in Jesus being alive. We celebrate that. We honor him. We worship him. We're looking for his return. And the worse our world gets, the more I long for his return. And the more I think many of you long for his return. But you know, we have that same responsibility they have to share. That same responsibility to share Jesus. Let me ask you a question. And this is, you have to answer this one personally. We don't answer this one as a church. Do you know anybody that's questioning? Anybody that's in despair? Anybody that's not sure about Jesus? Anybody come to mind? Anybody that the Holy Spirit quickens to your heart, that if this were the day that the trumpet blew, they wouldn't be ready to go. They'd be lost. If there's somebody like that that you can think about, could you share Jesus with them? Could you be able to say to them, I've got good news. I've got good news. There's a Savior who's alive, and he can change you. And the wonderful thing is that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most powerful force in the universe. You think about this for a moment. I mean, we talk about atomic bombs and nuclear weapons and all kinds of powerful things, but you think about it. The gospel, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel has the power to change a sinner into a saint. The gospel has the power to change a child of the devil into a child of God. The gospel has the power to change an enemy of God into a friend of God. The gospel has the power to change you from a resident of hell to a resident of heaven, if you believe before you end up at the wrong place. That's a powerful, powerful gospel. And if we share that powerful gospel in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, lives can be changed. And we have to remind ourselves, it's not up to us to convince somebody to believe. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw people to myself. If we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus, people will be drawn to him. A year or so ago, and it sort of got messed up by COVID, Baptist had a slogan, "Who is your one?" With the idea being, each one of us should try to win one person to Jesus. That if we would be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit would give each one of us, each Baptist, one person to lead to Jesus during that period of time that they were specifying as an outreach. Let me ask you, who's your one? Who's the person you could lead to Jesus? Now, I realize that, I'll just be honest, there's some of you that will say, I'm not interested. Some of you might say, well, I'd like to, but I can't. And some of you will try, and you won't know whether it'll make any difference or not. But don't give up. I was back visiting in one of my former churches to preach a homecoming a few years ago, and a lady walks up to me and says, you visited me for 9 years and I never did come to church, but I'm there every Sunday now. And I'm thinking, well, why didn't you come while I was there? But 9 years of visiting, I think of another lady that different visitation teams visited. And she and her husband never would come. But then one day, Pamela and two ladies from the Sunday school class went and visited her, and the lady showed up the next Sunday, and after that, her husband started coming, and they were faithful from then on. Somebody finally got through to them. So even if you try and you think you failed, you may find out somebody's going to walk up to you in heaven and said, you didn't know that I did accept Jesus on the basis of what you did. But some of you will see a harvest. Who is your one? It would be amazing what would happen in our church if every member would seriously consider trying to reach one person for Jesus Christ. These guys, they were in despair. They were questioning. It's like the sun was there, but the clouds were over it and they couldn't see it. And then suddenly, through the scriptures and through meeting Jesus, joy, joy, real joy came. And they went to share. Easter first ought to be a time of celebration, joy, honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Being thankful for our salvation. But Easter is a time for sharing. Now, and it's time for sharing more than Easter baskets with chocolate eggs. I hope that all of your Easter baskets had all your favorites in them. But the greatest thing you can share is Jesus. Share Jesus. Make sure your kids and grandkids hear about Jesus. What about your friend, your neighbors? What about your coworkers? Who is the one person the Holy Spirit would lay upon your heart this Easter to share the good news? The clouds are rolled away and the sun is shining. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. The Son of God is shining. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a few moments? If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you step out and just get up from your seat right where you are, come down the aisle, and I'll talk to you about your need of Jesus. If you'd like to profess faith in Him, would you come? Then I pray that every one of you will do two things. Worship the risen Jesus. Thank Him. Love on Him. Be grateful for His presence and His love for you. And secondly, I pray that you will ask the Lord, who is my one? Who is the one person that I need to share Jesus? It's probably somebody I don't know, but you know them. And if you'll be honest with the Holy Spirit, He'll be honest with you. And He'll lead you to that person. Father, the fields are white unto harvest now. Not someday, but now. Show us those that are in despair, feeling hopeless and helpless. And let us introduce them to our great Savior, the risen Lord Jesus. We thank You, Father, that we don't have to do it in our own strength, but in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, under the leadership of the Spirit. And He'll give us the words to say, the scriptures to quote, if we'll just be faithful. And Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in this church, because there's some folks here that have heard the challenge, not from me, but from the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for the people that are going to be saved as we share with our one. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.